global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Catherine Cowdery. Bloomberg Markets is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. The stock market closed higher, sending the Dow Industrial Average to a fresh record. Strong economic data overshadowed concerns about Italy's rejection of constitutional reforms. Service industries expanded in November at the fastest clip since October of last year, putting the economy's biggest sector on a robust growth path. The Institute for Supply Management's non-manufacturing index jumped to 57.2, topping all forecasts in a Bloomberg survey. We checked the markets throughout the trading day on Bloomberg Radio. Dow Industrial Average added 46 points, a quarter percent, to close at 19,216. S&P 500 gained 13 points, six-tenths of a percent, and closed at 2204. And the NASDAQ rose 53 points, a 1%, and closed at 5308. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down 70 cents a barrel, 1.3% to $50.98. Spot gold down $5.60 a ounce at 11.7220. 10-year Treasury down 4/32 with a yield of 2.3995. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
This is your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini. Last time mortgage rates crept higher, it hurt the housing market and U.S. economic growth, and we could soon see a repeat, according to Yelena Shulyeteva. She's economist for Bloomberg Intelligence.
What happened was home sales declined, both new home sales and existing home sales, and that resulted in a decline in so-called broker commissions component of GDP. And that component subtracted almost a percentage point from GDP growth back in 2014.
But Shulyeteva also says this time around, rising wages could help compensate.
Overall economic conditions are improving and people will be earning more money and we're nearing full employment. So that overall growth in the economy should help housing and should offset the headwinds coming from higher mortgage rates.
Black Knight Financial says in September, before mortgage rates started creeping higher, home prices barely rose compared to August. And that's your Bloomberg Real Estate Report. I'm Denise Pellegrini.
This is Bloomberg Markets with Carol Messer and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
All we need is Howard Love. Howard Love, entrepreneur, angel investor, and author now. He's got a book called The Startup J-Curve, Six Steps to Entrepreneurial Success. Howard Love, I haven't talked to you in years, man. I'm very excited to have you on the show here.
It's been a while, Corey. It's been too long, I'd say.
I couldn't agree more. So you have, when we used to pal around, you were working at a hedge fund and investing a lot of startups right around the dot-com bubble era.
And there were two sides to that bubble.
There were two sides to that problem, and we got to experience both of them. And I wonder, you know, but you've looked at a lot of startups, and you've been investing in a lot of startups since then, and you've observed this thing that you're calling the J curve. What is the J curve?
Well, the J curve is sort of the reality as opposed to the other model, which is the hockey stick, you know, where you start lower left and you sort of, progress at this really nice rate up into the right. And then you kind of have this big upswing and end up on your paradise island. So the J curve is just what really happens. And it's what I've seen over the last 35 years of being involved in startups and founding or co-founding 15 and investing in another, you know, over 50. And what it is it describes the startup journey, and it's essentially a roadmap that helps founders sort of get from where they are to success. And, you know, one of the key things is, of course, it dips down in the beginning, and that's because building new products is hard. And, releasing products is even harder. And then, you know, the reality is the first product usually doesn't work. And so then you need to go through this sort of what I call morphing phase. And then, you know, once you do that, you figure out the model. And after that scale and after that harvest, so I divided the journey up into six different stages that provide sort of a template for founders to, you know, to get to that desert, you know, that paradise island quickly.
Well, so take me through the stages real quick.
Yes, the stages are create, and that's when the first stage is create, and that's when you're coming up with your, you have your idea, you're putting together your team and hopefully some funding. And then you go from create to release, and release is when you are trying to get the product out there. And it just turns out there's a whole host of challenges to getting a product out. And you know this, having been, you know, involved in technology and watched startups, it just takes longer, it's more expensive and everything else. And there's also psychological hurdles and so forth, like, you know, perfectionism, fear of failure, fear of being judged, and, you know, all sorts of things like that. And then...
Is that the point where a lot of companies make, you know, you're maybe obliquely referring to my time at thestreet.com, where I was the founding reporter there a long time ago. And
yeah, I remember.
That was a business that had some, you know, I remember early on we had some sort of huge management changes in the early days when, as you mentioned, things weren't straight up and to the right. And the board just decided to, you know, replace people left and right. Is that the time when a lot of companies can make big dramatic decisions that maybe they should just have a little more patience?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. And that's why, you know, it's one of the key sort of takeaways of the book is that, look, reality is startups take a long time. They're messy and they're hard as heck. I mean, Elon Musk, you know, perhaps the greatest, you know, startup founder of our time, likened startups to eating glass and looking into the abyss. And, you know, I think they can be a lot more fun than that. But there are times when you're definitely, you know, might be feeling like that. And it's very tumultuous, you know, in those early stages. And I think, you know, perhaps that's what you guys were going through at Street.com. And, you know, the thing is, a lot of people, you know, when that's all going on, yeah, they're flailing, they're a little panicked, they're a little distraught, and it's tough. And that's why, you know, hopefully having a roadmap and just basically telling people, look, this is totally normal, that, you know, it's hopefully really helpful. You know, the reality is if you look at some, you know, the great startup sort of stories out there that, you know, everyone wants to kind of be like let's take Instagram. Well, Instagram was not Instagram. It was originally actually Bourbon, which was a check-in app like Foursquare, and it didn't really work and wasn't really getting traction. And so, you know, the founders, you know, did the right thing, which is, they say, well, look, is there something that anyone's using here? And the answer was photos. And they said, well, what if we do all photos and don't do the other stuff? And they sort of morphed and iterated towards that, and the rest is success, and that became Instagram. And if you look at so many of these stories, that's what's at the heart of them, is that sort of tumultuous, innovative process.
But also maybe throwing out the playbook and deciding that you can actually do something very different than what you intended to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the reality is that the original business plan almost never works as written. That's because it's a business plan. It's like a term paper. I call it Dreams Unburdened by Reality. And when you get into the reality...
So I would say the same thing looking at the financials of some of the Elon Musk startups, but that's just me.
might still be a lot of dreaming going on there. I don't know, but...
But please continue. So the notion is you've got this carefully orchestrated business plan. I sat down with a guy a few years ago, and he had this startup business in mind, and he was asking me for advice, and he presented me with his business plan, and it had monthly cash flows,
yeah,
for the next 10 years.
Totally meaningless. I think anything that projects cash more than 3 months, you know, in the startup at least world, is you know, pretty questionable. There's nothing wrong with having a plan at the beginning, and from my perspective as an investor, it shows that the founding team has really kind of thought things through, and it gives an insight into their thinking, and you know, hopefully they've put together a cogent plan that makes a lot of sense. But I just know as an investor, it's just not going to work. Or most of it isn't going to work. Some little portion of it might. But, yeah, I mean, that's the reality. And so if you look at it that way, then, you know, what that sort of dictates is like, well, maybe we should get a product out there pretty quick, so at least we can see what the market really thinks of all this. And that's where you kind of get into the idea of MVPs and stuff like that that can be super useful.
So you've also invested, you know, looking through our notes here, and like I said, we've been in touch in a long time, but you've gone across a lot of different industries. But it seems to me that, you know, some of your investments have been a meteor investment in GigaOm, for example. And I wonder how much traditional models of revenue are important there, that being advertising, and sort of the plug and play aspects of starting a company with ideas that have already been tested and true.
Yeah, it it's interesting. So, like media, for example, so the fourth phase, by the way, the fourth stage is what I call model. So after you nail the product, but not until you nail the product, I would argue, do you really, focus on model? And a lot of people just sort of, they go right past the model phase and they're like, yeah, whatever, it'll be this or it'll be that. But the really successful companies spend time on the model and try and just do everything they can to essentially end up with, you want to end up with a high margin business. And most media companies should be high margin businesses. And if it's not, then that's an issue. But, the models in some industries are kind of pretty straightforward, and I'd argue that in media, they're pretty straightforward and probably haven't changed in a heck of a long time. And the truth is, you've got advertising, you've got subscriptions, but you had that 100 years ago, that's just in terms of the revenue, in terms of getting subscribers and everything else. That's all changed quite a bit, getting eyeballs and things like that, but. Yeah, it's, but it depends on the industry. Some industries, right. the model's a lot more complex.
Howard Love, his book is called The Startup J-Curve, Six Steps to Entrepreneurial Success. Howard, great to have you on the show. You've been listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg.